Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. If you have a Bible at hand, please go to the New Testament book of Acts. In this study, we would like to consider chapter 20. Paul is on his third missionary journey. He spent more than 2 years in Ephesus, where a riot arose led by a silversmith, Demetrius. The main metropolitan officer of the city was able to calm down the rioters and to dismiss them. Then follows the account we would like to read now from Acts chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him. And of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. As soon as the uproar in Ephesus had ended, Paul wanted to leave Ephesus and go to Macedonia. But before departing, he gathered his disciples, that is, fellow Christians, to encourage them and say goodbye to them. On his way to Macedonia, Paul must have spent considerable time giving encouragement to the Christians. People had come to faith recently and faced adversities, all of which made it necessary to assist them and to build them up in the faith. Paul bore witness to Christ, and so he strengthened the believers. Then Paul arrived in Greece, where he spent 3 months. He may have stayed in Corinth during that time. These would be winter months, when ships did not sail regularly. Paul probably wrote his letter to the Romans while he was in Greece. But again, it happened to be a time of trouble. In Greece, the Jews made a plot against Paul. No details are given, but the Jews were determined to kill Paul. The apostle was carrying the offering collected in Macedonia, by which the needy Christians in Judea would be supported. For this reason, there would have been a temptation for theft as well. Paul wanted to go to Syria, but because of the plot, he decided to return through Macedonia. Plans suffered changes. A number of names of people are mentioned at this point of the narrative. They were traveling companions of Paul, probably representatives of the Gentile churches who were to bring their gifts to the poor believers in Jerusalem. Among those men was Timothy. Luke, the author of Acts, probably was also with them because he says us, including himself in the story. This group of men went ahead and waited for Paul and Luke in Troas. Paul and his immediate companions stayed a while longer in Philippi till after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days following the Passover. This was also the anniversary of Jesus' resurrection. Then Paul and his companions sailed from Philippi to meet the other men in Troas. They stayed in Troas 7 days. Although Paul was in a hurry to arrive at Jerusalem by Pentecost, he remained 7 days at Troas. This might have been because of a ship schedule, but more likely the delay was in order to meet with the believers on Sunday for divine service, including the celebration of Holy Communion. This is how the events developed in Troas, according to Acts chapter 20, verses 7 to 12. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered. And a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while, until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive, and were not a little comforted. The day before Paul left Troas, people gathered for divine service. It was on the first day of the week, that is, Sunday. Sunday, the day Jesus rose from the grave, became the regular day of worship for Christians. We are told that they were all together to break bread. Breaking bread here means the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament was an essential element of divine service, and so was also preaching. Paul prolonged his speech until midnight. Because of his few days with this group of fellow believers in Troas, Paul felt compelled to make a long address. Then an accident concerning Eutychus is recorded. The name Eutychus means fortunate. Well, he was not very fortunate at this occasion. He became overpowered by tiredness while Paul was talking. Today the discussion would concentrate on health and safety rules, I imagine. Since there were no proper health and safety measures in place, Eutychus fell from the window of the third story and died. There were no emergency services available, but there was Paul, who went downstairs and acted as if he was a paramedic. Paul threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. Eutychus was risen to life. As Peter had raised Tabitha, so Paul raised Eutychus. The risen Lord Jesus Christ worked through Paul and restored the young dead man to life. And the meeting continued. Paul went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. Paul and possibly some of the others took nourishment during this long night prior to Paul's departure the next morning. Paul continued to talk until daybreak, and then he departed. Paul's speech, and particularly the resurrection of Eutychus, brought great comfort to all. In our days, there are so many opportunities to hear God's word. It is preached in many places and mainly in much more comfortable buildings than in New Testament times. We do well in attending regularly divine services and also take part in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Through word and sacrament, our gracious God comes to us to share His love, to instruct us, to forgive our sins, to strengthen our faith, and to empower us to serve our Savior Jesus Christ and our neighbor. For Paul, the time came to leave Troas. Acts chapter 20, verses 13 to 16 tell the following. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail to Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Chios. The next day we touched Samos, and the day after that we went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Assos was located on the opposite side of the peninsula from Troas, about 20 miles away by land. The coastline, however, from Troas to Assos was about 40 miles. While his friends sailed, Paul went by foot. As it happened, Paul was not far behind the ship that sailed around the peninsula. In Assos, the whole group met, and after sailing one day, they arrived in Mytilene. The journey continued through Chios, Samos, and then arriving in Miletus. Paul was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. He had only 34 days left to reach Jerusalem, where he planned to be for the Pentecost celebration.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
While Paul was in Miletus, he arranged a meeting with church leaders from Ephesus. We read in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 35. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made after my departure fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I command you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Instead of Paul going to Ephesus, he called the elders of the church of Ephesus to come to Miletus. Paul felt he needed to meet with them to give them instructions and encouragement. The importance of the leadership of elders has been evident throughout Paul's ministry. He had appointed elders on his first missionary journey and had addressed the holders of this office later in Philippi. Some years later, he wrote down instructions about the elders' qualifications. Now Paul addressed the elders in a stunning speech. He opened his heart in a very frank and honest way. The apostle made a recollection of his ministry among the Ephesians and in the province of Asia. Some aspects of Paul's life and ministry deserve to be highlighted and commented. Let us do it then in a numerical order. 1. Humble and committed service. This reflects the true servant attitude with which Paul carried out his apostolic ministry. Paul conducted his ministry with emotional fervency, even tears, and a sense of urgency. 2. Courage and determination. Paul did not allow threatening circumstances to discourage him and to give up the task of preaching the gospel the Lord had given to him. 3. The way of salvation implies in repentance and faith. Paul stresses this teaching time and again. By repentance, sins are acknowledged and confessed. By faith in Jesus Christ, sins are forgiven. 4. Guidance by the Spirit. Paul was God's instrument led by the Holy Spirit. 5. Awareness of prison and hardships. Paul's ministry was not an easy one. On the contrary, his life was constantly at risk. He was flogged. He was imprisoned. He saw the picture of death before his eyes. 6. Intense desire to finish the task the Lord had given him. Paul described his ministry in racing terminology. He spoke of finishing his course. Paul acknowledged to have received the ministry from the Lord. Christ made him an apostle. 7. Paul saw in this encounter with the Ephesian elders the last one. He expressed his own opinion, what he anticipated. But as it turned out, it seems that he did return to Ephesus. 8. Paul knew that in the future some of the pastors would fall away from the faith and false teachings would be spread. 9. Paul proclaimed the whole counsel of God. This is a lesson all preachers should learn. It can easily happen that preachers avoid announcing and teaching the whole truth because people may take offense. Paul's example and recommendation strongly suggests the necessity of proclaiming the whole counsel of God. 10. Paul counseled and encouraged the elders to perform faithfully their office. 11. Paul anticipated problems of false shepherds and false doctrine to arise, and therefore he warned the elders to be on their guard. 12. Paul committed the elders to God and His grace. 13. Paul defended his honesty and hard work to sustain himself. He did not want to be a burden to those he served with the gospel. 14. Paul shared with those in need. The gospel he preached centered on giving. God gives forgiveness and eternal life through His Son, Jesus. God's heirs give to others based on what God has given them. What a rich and thorough speech Paul delivered. There are so many lessons to be learned from what Paul said, lessons particularly addressed to pastors, elders, teachers, and church leaders in general. How did the meeting of Paul and church elders end? Acts chapter 20, verses 36 to 38 report the following. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Amazing! Can we picture the scene? That happened to be a moment of utter emotion. All knelt and prayed. The usual posture for prayer was standing. Kneeling to pray was a posture assumed at emotional times. The elders expressed the depth of their love for Paul with great emotion as they embraced him and kissed him. It seemed to be the last time the elders saw Paul. They stayed with him as long as they could and accompanied him to the ship. Saying goodbye to loved ones is never easy. Emotions pulse strongly. It hurts. Tears flow. Who hasn't gone through similar experiences? In our globalized world, it is more and more common for families being widespread around the world. Although modern means of communication are very useful to keep in touch, distance and separation are still there. However, as Christians, we take comfort in the fact that the Lord Jesus is with our loved ones wherever they are. We learn from the example of the Apostle Paul to commend to God and His grace family members and friends.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.